If you would, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Today's Sunday, December the 5th, 2021, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 3. I think I mentioned this last week. This time of the year, there is some, not much, but some focus on Jesus Christ, his birth. And here on Sundays, we've been taking a little bit of time not to look at his birth, but rather we've been looking at some of the completed work of Jesus Christ, what he's accomplished for us. We have seen from the scriptures that he accomplished forgiveness of all our sins, healing, eternal life, God's gift of Holy Spirit, all available to whosoever. And this morning we're going to look at something else that is available because of what Jesus Christ did for us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." The righteousness of God. If you keep your finger here, just look at Luke chapter 2. This is what the angel told the shepherds that night outside of Bethlehem. Luke 2, chapter 10. "And the angel said unto them," we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. "And the angel said unto them," to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," not just to Israel. And you know from the scriptures, Jesus Christ was a minister to Israel. He was sent to Israel. He ministered to Israel. He didn't travel around the world, but he was sent specifically to Israel. But isn't it interesting that "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So back to Romans chapter 3, where we were. The angel said this is good news for all people. And I think last week we looked at God so loved the world, all people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that night, the night Christ was born, the angel said the Savior was arriving, and it was good tidings of great joy for all people. In the epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy, it says God would have all people to be saved. God would like every human being to receive salvation, eternal life, his gift of spirit, forgiveness, healing, all those things. And I think I mentioned it last week that Christianity is an open invitation. God's like, it's available. Come take part. So Romans 3:22 again, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." And you notice the word faith and believe in that verse. They come, both faith and belief come from the same basic Greek word. And it's much easier to stay consistent. So, the righteousness of God, which is by believing of Jesus Christ, his believing, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Again, God's desire for all people is to be saved, to receive forgiveness of sins, to receive his healing, to receive his gift of Holy Spirit, to have eternal life. And here again is another great blessing that we have as born-again ones because of the work of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. And so we're going to take just a little bit of time this morning and hopefully increase our understanding of righteousness. God has given us righteousness. And I want to keep this as simple as I can. I don't want to get technical. Just so that when we read, we'll have more understanding when we read the scriptures. The words just justice, justification, righteousness, that you read in King James, they all come from a basic same word. And so, if we understand the basic word that all those other words are translated as, if we have a better understanding of it, then the meaning of that as we read the scriptures will be greatly increased, as opposed to righteousness being just a really nice sounding spiritual word. Yes, I'm righteous. What does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds good. It makes me feel good because I'm righteous. You see what I'm saying? We'll just get a little better understanding. Its basic meaning, from which all these words come from, means justice or justness or being right according to a legal or established standard. To be right. Now, for lots of people, being right or just is something according to their own personal standard. You know, this is how I live. This is right in my eyes. You know, you can live how you want. This is how I choose to live. And anybody can do that. You know why? Because when God made human beings, he gave us free will. So we can choose. You know, we can go out and worship trees if we want. And or whatever we want to do. But the point I'm making is that so many people, their rightness or being right is based on their standard. In Proverbs, it says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. To walk wisely would be to walk according to what's revealed in this book, the Bible. Keep your finger. We're going to come right back to this, but look at Isaiah chapter 5. We'll get back to Romans in a minute, but Isaiah chapter 5. Because we want to understand God's righteousness, being right according to God's standard, not my standard. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe. Yeah, woe. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. I haven't seen any of that around in our world today, have we? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That is not a good thing. If you back up and go to Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And the counsel it's talking about here is God's word, God's counsel. You want to be wise? Hearken to God's counsel. So back to Romans chapter 3. The word that we are considering basically means justice or being just or right according to a legal established standard. And in God's word, where the context is God's righteousness or God's justice or God's justification, it's according to God's standard, and there is no higher standard of being right than God's standard. That's the highest standard there is. Briefly, the verb means to set forth as righteous, to justify by a judicial act, by a judicial decision to free a person from their guilt, which stands in the way of them being right. You know, if you go to court which is a legal proceeding. If you're guilty, then you're not right according to the legal standard. You know, if you got a ticket for going 85 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone and you're in court, are you right according to the legal standard of the speed laws? No, you're guilty. You're guilty. But being made right is, by a judicial decision, free a person from their guilt, which stands in the way of them being right. Used as a noun, it is a state of being just or right by God's act of judicial deliverance from all that stands in the way of being right or just. And then as an adjective, fulfilling all claims which are right and just. A right state of which God and His Word is the standard, so that no fault or defect can be charged. So, with that little bit of, you know, maybe bigger understanding of this word that's translated righteous, just, justified, justification, let's read a little bit here in Romans 3. This word comes up a bunch in the book of Romans. And so we'll read a little bit, we'll back up. You know, verse 1 of chapter 3 says, well, what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? In the opening chapters of the book of Romans, Paul is basically pointing out that, look, doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Because as you know, the history of the Jewish people, Israel, the chosen of God. They were God's chosen people. But on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, that all changed. Now it's an open invitation for anyone to have God to be their God. So a lot about what you read in Romans is like, look, it doesn't matter anymore. So we'll just start in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? You know, those of us that are from Israel, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. Who doesn't sin and miss the mark? Right? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. With their tongue have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. Okay, you know, it's really interesting here because in those last verses that we read, Paul is, who wrote the book of Romans, is quoting different sections of scripture. He's quoting from Ecclesiastes, he's quoting from Isaiah, he's quoting from a number of different Psalms. And kind of a side note here, that's interesting, and you could say, wow, Paul really knew the scriptures. You know, as he's writing this, oh, I know that verse from Ecclesiastes. I'll put that one in here. There's that verse from Psalm, where was it? Okay. You could say that, but that's not what happened. Because we know the scriptures came, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are verses God told Paul to put into this letter to the Romans. So there's all these verses, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I kind of get it here. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by doing the Old Testament law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You are not going to become right by just doing the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now we are in a new era. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This was revolutionary to those of Israel. Because those of Israel were like, I got to do the law. I got to do it perfectly. And if I do it perfectly, I'll be right. And then you miss it. Because no one could do the law perfectly. No one could carry everything out perfectly. So it was almost like a vicious cycle. And here he's saying, you're not made right by doing the law. And then we get that verse that we started with. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ, this righteousness is unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe. Oh, how simple God made it. We see from this how this righteousness of God, being right in God's sight, free from all guilt, just absolutely right, according to a legal standard, it came about because Jesus Christ believed God. He always did the will of the Father. He laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice for mankind and gave up his life, and then God raised him from the dead. He did all the heavy lifting for us. And now we have the hardest thing in the world to do, believe. Look how easy God made it for us to have all that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Last week we looked at John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amazing. God's righteousness is available to anyone and everyone. I would say that's some good tidings. That should bring a little bit of joy, right? That's some good news. Look at chapter 10 of Romans. There are people that we may know that we would just be so happy for them if they would find God. You know, that's one way of saying it. Find God, or as we know from the scriptures, to get born again, to get saved, to see some great truths in God's word so that they could receive all that God's made available through the work of Jesus Christ, that they could have eternal life, that they could have God's gift of Holy Spirit so that they could see that they've been forgiven, that they're righteous before God. You know, there are people that we know that we just, gosh. And that's how Paul felt in chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might get saved, that they could hear this message. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. Oh yeah, they're very religious, yes, but not according to knowledge. Well, they had some knowledge, but Paul's saying it's not the right knowledge. For they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, that's that free will again. This is how I'm going to be right. I'm doing these things so I'm right. Okay. But is it according to God's righteousness? The highest standard there is. Would you rather be right in God's eyes or in your own? Okay. All right. And he goes on to say, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He fulfilled it. To everyone that does what? Believes. There it is again. God makes it so simple. God is like, would you just believe my words? You don't even have to do anything. Just believe it. Just believe it, and it's all given to you because it's by grace. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of believing speaks on this wise. Well, what does it say? Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The righteousness which is of believing. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of believing which we preach. And here it is. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. End of story. Amen. To confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess means to acknowledge, to agree with, to accept that Jesus Christ is Lord of all human beings who have ever lived. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He did that all. He's earned the title of Lord, and God gave him that title. Yes, he's Lord, and I believe God raised him from the dead. Boom. Thou shalt be saved. And look at the next verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. God's righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there, look at this, verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to call on him whom they've not heard, have not believed? Hard to believe something you haven't heard, right? Well, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, the good news of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Like the angel said, I'm giving you some good tidings of great joy to all people. If you look back at verse 12 again, God's righteousness is available to anyone and everyone. Verse 12 again. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, and then we'll go back to Romans. Galatians 3. This is exciting stuff. To be right in God. We might not be right in people's eyes. Someone may look at you and go, he's something. I don't know what he is. But God looks at the born-again one and says, you are my righteous child. You are righteous in my sight. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no more Judean or Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And back to Romans where we started, Romans 3. In Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. We hear so much in our culture these days about, you know, equity and injustice, and that is really a testimony of the great lack of the Word of God in our culture. Look at what we've read. Available to all. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. All get the same righteousness. All get God's gift of Holy Spirit. All get forgiveness. Talk about leveling the playing field. Wow. God's righteousness is available to all who believe. So let's finish this chapter 3. Verse 22 again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, being justified, being made righteous, being right according to God's legal standard, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we got it. It says in Ephesians, by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if we got saved by works, then we could go, well, I got it. Worked pretty hard for it. When are you going to get started? God made it so simple. God so leveled the playing field. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, rich or poor, whatever. Whoever believes, receives. Whom God, talking about Jesus Christ, God, verse 25, God set forth to be a propitiation, that payment, through believing in his blood, meaning what he did, he died for us, to declare his, God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, right now, for you and me, his righteousness, that he might be just, and he is, and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. How many times does God have to tell us that just believe? Accept my son. And then we get all of that, so that's why verse 27. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? A law of works? No. But by the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, made righteous, made right in the sight of God according to God's legal standard, of which there is nothing higher. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it's one God who shall justify, make righteous the circumcision, or the Jews, by believing, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through believing. Do we then make void the law through believing? No, God forbid, we establish the law. What a marvelous section of God's word. No wonder it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no more guilty verdict to people who are born again in the eyes of God. He sees us as right, right, righteous. God made us righteous when we got born again. And at that moment, he forgave us of all our sins. In Colossians, it says all trespasses. And when we fall short, which we will, we just go to the Father. We confess our sins. And what does it say in 1 John? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Clean us up. We decided to run and jump in the mud puddle. Sorry, Dad. Let me get the hose. All right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And you know, when the Savior finally arrived in Bethlehem, baby Jesus, that night in the stable, did nothing for mankind that night. He was just born. Just baby Jesus. You know, he didn't look at the drummer boy and start keeping time with him. He did nothing, but years later, Jesus Christ would be obedient to his Father and complete the Father's work that the Father gave him. And shortly before he died, when he was hanging, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up his life, died, and God raised him from the dead. Mankind's redemption was completed, and as a result, for you and me, so many rights, privileges, and abilities are available to those who are born again, that we have all of our sins forgiven, that we have healing available, that we have eternal life, that we have God's gift of Holy Spirit, and much more, including, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for how simple you've made salvation and eternal life available to us. Thank you for saving us by your great grace, and how thankful we are for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, Father, did all the heavy lifting for us, that we could just simply believe what you said in your word and receive all that you said we can have that's recorded in your word. Thanks for the great privilege of being a born-again one, saved. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the good tidings of great joy with others. And I pray, Father, that all of us here in this room and those on the phone hookup, that we can have a joyful week, remembering how good you are and how much you've done for us. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.